All right. It is 4:31 a.m. on Thursday, July 29th, 2021. And this is Basketball This Week Done Quickly. Cool. Oh, well, so much to get into. So much to talk about. But I can't proceed without talking about 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics. Watched quite a bit of it. It's very good. If you have a cable subscription, or you are a member of the military or a university that provides access to streaming, strongly recommend that you go and seek out 3x3 basketball. It's a lot of fun. I followed the USA women quite closely, just because it was really fascinating to me that they were the team with the least experience there, but they had some college and some WNBA talent, and it was interesting to see how dominant they were early, but then how the experience started to kind of catch up to them a little bit. They still won. Oh, I shouldn't even say that. I just spoiled it. Well, you know, sorry, but. It you can watch things even if you know the result. I do it all the time, and I suggest you do it. It's really good basketball. It's a lot of fun. Just watch a random match if you don't want, or watch the men gold medal if you don't know who won yet. That'll show you something, especially if you're electronite. So, joke for one person who possibly never listens anymore, but we'll see. Anyway, since I talked about 3-on-3, I have to talk about 5-on-5 and the struggles, quote-unquote, of USA men's basketball. Like, obviously, it wasn't good that they lost to France, but they then beat Iran by 50 points the next day, or 50 points plus. I don't know. It was their score was in the 120s, and Iran were in the 60s, so I didn't do the math, but... neither game is saying a ton. Well, the one thing that France is saying is that it's saying that Team France is good, and we knew that coming in. They were the best team in the in their pool, and they had a chance to compete with the US, and they had a chance to win, and they did. You could tell who watched the game and who didn't, because if you see people talking about, oh, the selfish USA players, it's actually quite the opposite. There was way too much deferring, way too much sharing of the ball in situations where a guy was wide open and should have taken the shot. The players were too nice and they were too team oriented. They didn't start heaving shots up until it was already kind of too late. And then Kevin Durant is, you know, he still had a chance to tie those games up. He just missed those shots, you know? And poor Lillard, he was butterfingers. And, you know, I said plenty of negative things about Damian Lillard. That wasn't his fault, you know? It just... shit happens sometimes, and shit happened at a time where it was very embarrassing for him. But there was the problem with that game was that everybody was trying to be friends. it didn't really matter in the next game, just because Iran is so far below the U.S. in talent that it was not useful as a demonstration of what Team USA will do when the chips are down. It's nice that they have the killer instinct, though, for sure. So. That part's good. Anyway, just NBA news. The Pelicans made a trade yesterday. At this point, day before yesterday. They traded Eric Bledsoe and Steve Adams and the number 10 pick and the future Lakers year 2022 pick protected the top 10 for... the 17 pick. So, basically they hit a big reset button. and it costs them the 10 pick and the future Lakers pick, which, hey, you know what? I've been hearing the Pelicans get killed quite a bit for this trade. I think it's very much a wait and see as to if they deserve to be killed for this. If they do something stupid with that money, then yes, let's kill them. But right now, undoing your mistakes, it's good to undo your mistakes, you know? And they undo their mistakes, so hey. And in the end, it doesn't cost them that much. That Lakers pick is probably not going to be that great. And if it is, you know what? If it is, then it's top 10 protected, so then it is great. So you know what? I mean, so hey. To me, it's a deal that makes sense. I don't think it's like a crime against basketball like a lot of the media is thinking. And in fact, I think it's I see where they're coming from. I'm for it. Those guys weren't working out. Apparently, Bledsoe is going to be waived soon. We've heard that song and dance from Memphis before, so I don't know if I believe it. We'll see when it happens, but, you know, allegedly he's being waived soon, so we'll see. Memphis is apparently trying to make more moves or trying to move up some more. We'll see what happens. But yeah. And that brings us to the draft. This is not a year where I am the draft expert, as I've said last week. But I've been doing my work this week, so I can at least kind of give you some heads up. Like, if you're not paying attention at all, you should know that Cade Cunningham is probably going to go number one. You may have heard some stories about him not going number one. And, you know, who knows about that sort of thing? It could be, there's so many things it could be. But the reliable sources, to me, the reliable sources, and no, I don't consider Wojnarowski a reliable source. To me, the reliable sources have Cade going number one. So we'll see. I don't see a reason. There's no reason to pass on him. He's the most NBA-ready player in the draft. He's a guy who could potentially in the East be an all-star next year. He's a difference maker. He's not like a generational player. I don't think he's that, but he's a clear number one he might be a general. He's a borderline generational player, I think. So, yeah, to me, that's an easy number one. I think Mobley should be number two. I think he's a big man who has a lot of potential to be like a good defender and also a very, very skilled offensive player. He has quite a tool set, a very good passer. Some people have said he's the next Anthony Davis, and I wouldn't go that far. But I also wouldn't go the next Chris Bosh, which is another one that people are comparing to. But the fact that he's getting those comps are things that you should pay attention to and definitely consider the how good a player has to be if those are the comps he's getting. So of course the Kings are probably not gonna of course the Rockets are probably not picking him second. Sounds like the Rockets are going with Green, who also is a pretty good player. He came in to G League Ignite. Everybody there was trying to kick his ass. Everybody there was trying to embarrass him and make him look bad. And he played well. He's a player with a lot of problems in his game. He's a little bit undersized. Doesn't always have the best vision, it seems. But he's a player with a lot of star potential. So I'm making fun of the Rockets for not picking him a little bit, but he's another guy who probably isn't going to miss, and I think it's a solid. I think he's going to be a good player, even if I think they're overthinking it a little bit. So yeah. The Cavs are probably going to get Mobley at third. Don't think it's going to be easy to pass on him, and hopefully we'll see how that goes. Beyond that, some names that are moving up. Duarte out of Oregon. He's another guy who people are considering to be very, very NBA ready. He's a really good shooter. Old. And because of what the Suns did, and the league is a copycat league, everybody's like, oh, well, we got to get our own Cam Johnson. So, you know what? I'm not going to criticize it. I was a big pro Cam Johnson guy, and I'm a big pro Duarte guy. So, yeah, if I don't know about taking him at 11 or 10, which is something I've heard, or 7, 8. I've heard all these things. But, you know, I see. But, you know, whatever. He's going to be a good player. Another player moving up is Giddy out of Australia. And he is apparently the player that the Memphis Grizzlies moved up for. So if that's true, if they did move up for him, then he's another player that's a really good shooter, really good creator, apparently really young. I mean, if you watched the Las Vegas game, Team USA struggled with him, and that's a pretty I mean, Team USA wasn't playing their best defense by any means, but that's still a sign that Giddy belongs on the NBA court somewhere. So, yeah. A guy moving down is Kuminga. He was another guy on Ignite. And he definitely had a rough start there. I thought he came along in the long run. But I also understand why he's moving down. Like, he doesn't... His skill set is not... It's difficult to understand what his skill set is. Like, he was an extremely dominant high school player. But against pro competition, didn't quite look as ready. And in a draft that's stacked, you know, teams are going to go with somebody who's ready. But I don't know. He's a player who has he's one of the few players projected in the top 15 who has a chance to bust. So that's always a risk. But, you know, he is a player that has a chance to be really good too. So somebody's going to pick him in the lottery for sure. Maybe not for sure, but it's likely somebody picks him in the lottery. And of course, my favorite sleeper is everyone's favorite sleeper. I love Bones. Everybody loves Bones. He's a very crafty, jump shooty player who very creative on offense. Kind of small. Probably is going to need some work on his game to adapt to the NBA, but a very intriguing player. And most mocks he's picked in the second round, but I would be very happy for the Lakers to pick him at 22. Well, that's about it. Watching fencing now as we speak, as I'm doing this podcast. Oh no, one of these terrible Army commercials. Come on, where... Oh, this one's especially bad because it's this dude's Middle Eastern parents that are out there in the Middle East with him saying, well, son, I think it's good for you to join the U.S. Army. Oh, dear. Anyway, fencing is back. And I think I'm going to watch that now. Enjoy the draft tomorrow. I think it's going to be fun. Or the draft today, technically. And... be safe, my beautiful friends. I will talk to you later. Goodbye.
It is grand.
You're good, but I'm better.
Don't stay up late. Eat all your greens now. Remember, I love you. I'll see you soon.